This is Memcare by Radio with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Memcare by Radio and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
In our last visit at this time, Miles Wilson introduced us to the process of what he calls funding the family business, raising support, giving for God's work. He spoke recently to a conference of Christian workers in Europe, and we're going to sample some more of what he had to say on the subject of financing the family business. That's how he refers to this process of raising support. So let's listen for a few minutes to Miles Wilson as he reflects on God's extravagant heart.
We look at that issue of partnership, the sending and the going together. I also said that it was dependent on God's people following His call on their lives to give. It doesn't always work. First of all, somebody tell me, what is the best known verse in the Bible about giving? What do you think it is? Ask and it will be given. Okay, there's a better one than that. We're blessed to give and receive. There's a better known verse than that. But let me ask a different question. What's the best known verse in the Bible? John 3:16. Is that a giving verse? The best known verse in the Bible has at its core a giving activity. See, God is a lavish giver. God gives because it is in His character, in His nature. Why did God give His Son? Was it just because He was sorry for us? No. It was for the benefit of God's glory. Thankfully, I get a good deal as well. If I say I am maturing in my walk with God on a daily basis, then I need to be becoming more like God on a daily basis. Therefore, my understanding and practice of giving should be included in that growth. See, the gospel is about God's generosity, much more than it is about my need. Giving gives God pleasure, and giving gives God glory. It warms the heart of God to give. It must disturb the heart of God when His people don't. So God is a lavish giver. Secondly, God owns everything. See, I don't own anything. I don't even own a pair of shoes. Everything is God's. What size of feet does God have? Well, I don't know, but these are His shoes. You know, everything I have. There's a great freedom in this. I don't own anything. I'm simply asked to take care of something that belongs to someone else. If you are raising money for something and are not prepared to put money into it from your own pocket, don't ask anyone else. Because if it's that important to you, why aren't you giving? For those of you here who are board members, every board member should be financially active in the organization. The levels will be different depending on ability. But if you come to me as a board member and say, will you give to our project? My first question will be, how much are you giving? I mean, I would go as far as saying, if you're not prepared to put funding in, then question whether or not you should be responsible for overseeing the raising of funding for that organization yourself. Those of you here who are parents, Phyllis and I don't have children, so we are still experts in rearing children. We have never made a mistake. But those of you who have children, do you remember the first time one of your children brought you a gift? Perhaps on your birthday, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Maybe just no day, but just a special thing they did. They went out on their own, no prompting from any other adult, and they bought a gift for you. They wrapped it up, perhaps with more sticky tape than paper. And they gave you that gift that you're never going to actually wear that tie anyhow, or use that perfume or whatever. How did you feel when you received that gift? Wonderful. Yeah. Whose money did they use to buy it? Yeah. So why did you feel wonderful that they used your money to buy a tacky gift, wrap it up badly? It is because it is a demonstration of their love. It is also that they have made a choice that of the resources you have given them, they have chosen to give some back to you. Did you need that gift? No. Probably not. No. Does God need our money? No. But it is the same principle. The Father who gives to us delights when we choose to give back to Him, not because of His need to receive, but because it demonstrates a love in our lives. When your child gave you that, Cindy, did they think it was their money or your money? They thought it was theirs. We're the same. Oh, God, isn't it wonderful? I've given you 12% this month. Thank you. Just don't forget where you got it from. You know? God first gives to us. We then give to Him. We have to understand, first of all, how to be a receiver from God before we can be a giver back to Him. But like little children, we sometimes forget that what we give to God is actually His, that we are returning to Him. Again, there's a great freedom in that. I have to keep remembering this. I don't own anything. I simply have the privilege of giving back to God what He chooses to give to me. We desperately need to understand the importance of what Jesus said all those years ago. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Let me reword that. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where the banks are likely to go bust, where the stock market is going to plunge, where house values will go down. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where the bank will never go bust, the pension fund will never decrease, the value of the mansions will never come down. Then at the end of that chapter, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. You cannot take anything with you. I need faith when God asks me to do something that is way beyond my capabilities. And I want to look at two extravagant givers and two boats. Here's Noah. Built this boat on dry land. People came to him and said, "What are you doing?" I'm building an ark. What's an ark? Not quite sure, but I think it's a huge big boat that will float on water. Where's the water? I don't know. How are you going to get this to the water? I don't know. So is this just a hobby you do Tuesday evenings and the weekends? No, I'm working full time at it. My three sons are with me here. So how long have you been doing this so far? 68 years. Of course they laughed at him. It was stupid, especially when they said, "Noah, why are you doing this?" "Well, God told me to." You see, we lock people up for saying things like that today. Stupid, ridiculous, completely daft. Yet who laughed last in that process? Eventually they came and said, "You were right." And he said, "Look, I'm sorry, it's too late. The door is closed." Noah used all his resources in a completely illogical way because God asked him to, and he heard God. The other one in the boat, Peter. I love Peter. Peter works on the basis of, if you can't say something sensible, well, say something anyhow. He's impulsive. In the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, "This is wonderful. Let's be," it says, because he didn't know what to say, he said, "Let's build three tents." You know, he's just impulsive guy. I'm like him, you know. He sometimes thought, but never before he spoke. So they're out in a boat, in a lake, in a storm. And we're not talking of a big ocean-going liner here, just a little fishing boat thing. And the disciples were slow learners. They think they see a ghost walking on the water. They say, "It's a ghost." Jesus said, "It's okay. It's me." Peter, impulsive as ever, says, "If it's really you, call me to come to you," out of a boat in a storm. And I can just imagine the smile on Jesus' lips when he thinks he's done it again. You know? So he says, okay, come on you come. Now, when you hear a pastor preach on that story, what is usually their punchline? He got his eyes off Jesus and down he went. I mean, how depressing can you get for a story? Why not look at what actually was the success of it? He walked on water. It's better than I've ever done. Did he come to the seminar on water walking first? No. Did he read the book? No. Did he go to the swimming pool and practice at the shallow end first? No. He used his resources in a ridiculous way where he was not trained, gifted, or anything. Why did he do it? Because Jesus asked him to. In the clamor of all the other voices we hear, we need to isolate the voice of God and listen to him in our giving. Separate from our emotions, one of the problems with most Christian giving, it's done the way non-Christian giving is done. Whichever is the most emotive cause gets the most money. You know, the most starving babies you can show, the more money you will get. But that may not be the most important way for you to use your resources. Peter and Noah had learned to listen to God in his guidance of them.
Miles Wilson sharing some background and Bible insights about fundraising and raising support. An experience we've all had to share as cross-cultural Christian workers. We'll hear more from our special guest next week at this time as he continues with his thoughts of God's extravagant heart.
This feature is a presentation of MemCare by Radio. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We would like to invite you to check out our website further. We offer other audio features and resources to help you in your work and ministry. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that we feel will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemCare by Radio and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.